Hello, everyone. My name is Herb Schellenberger. I'm one of the programmers for Barrick Film and Media Arts Festival 2021. And we're really excited this year to be showing in our new cinema awards the film La Nave. It's the first film directed by Carlos Maria Romero, aka Atabe Mamacita. And for me, it's a film that I was just knocked out by the first time I saw a couple months ago in an exhibition at the Royal Academy in London. It's Carlos's work for the graduation show at the Royal Academy. And, you know, watching this film in subsequent times, I really find so much to bring out of it and a richness in this work that especially from a first-time filmmaker is really kind of magical to see, but also, as we'll talk about, Carlos's practice extends into all these different areas that the film touches upon. So it's not topics that Carlos is new to thinking about. So thank you, Carlos, for joining us. Welcome.
Hi, Herb. It's a pleasure to be here talking to you, and it's been a pleasure to being part of the festival. And as you're saying, these are first times for me. It's the first time I show this project on a film festival.
Well, thank you for allowing us to bring it into this world as well. And I'm really excited to screen it, both in Barrick upon Tweed, but also online for all of our audiences there. I wanted to start off by talking a bit about your background, your artistic practice. I'm interested to hear how you would sort of characterize your own practice, but also within sort of three areas: performance, pedagogy, and activism.
Yeah, I predominantly come from a background in performing arts, dance in particular, and I have also, let's say, through also this space that I started as a liberatory space, a space of permission, so arts as a space where I could try out things that my society or my closer environment didn't allow me to. And somehow, you know, those early experiences of non-professional dancing, participating in amateur dancing, really shaped the way I see and I do my artistic practice. And that has other ways of bringing my concerns to take artistic or creative shape, you know. So I am a multidisciplinary artist. I tend to work in collaboration. So that has led me to do projects that, or have brought my artistic practice to work a lot with architects and activists and charities, and all of that in a way have shaped a way of approaching arts from a place of urgency, but also a place of permission and a place of narrative creating. Because often, I mean, I always get very frustrated in like more contemporary art circles in which narrative is negated or like, and being an LGBT person and a migrant person and a person that comes from Colombia, also for me, narrative, where we come from, where we want to go, who we are, what we are very important topics, you know. And I think they are, those narratives serve for my people and people in similar situations to live in ways that are more full of pride and more full of joy and create hope and so on. So yes, I am an artist that tends to create spaces for embodiment. For me, the body is very central. It also has a huge history of negation in Western world and in the colonial project too. I tend to work on those, on issues of historical erasal or non-permission. And all of those things are political, you know, so they just come together very organically, and I don't see any separation from that, or at least this is the way that my experience have shaped my practice to become what it is.
Mm. And I see all of those things directly sort of filtering into the work, into La Nave as well. But maybe before we get into the film, maybe you could introduce the context and the background of the Carnaval de Barranquilla.
Yeah, the Carnaval de Barranquilla is the largest cultural event of the north of Colombia. Is at the Caribbean area of Colombia, with a culture that is strongly Afrocentric, but also that have encountered the ways of living and the spirituality of the cultures that live there and have lived there before Europeans came, before larger migrations came into the area. And this event is also a huge symbol of multi-ethnicity or multiculturality from the area, you know, because like after the emancipation of Colombia some centuries ago, the premise of we are all equal, now we are not under the Spanish rulers, so everybody should be equal, but the reality is that is still not the case, you know. So, and we also have racism and classism and misogyny and transphobia and homophobia and all of those, and a large political conflict. So the context in which this film portrays, yes, it is specific to the carnival, specific on a year in which the carnival doesn't happen because we are in the global pandemic. And I think the aim behind the project was for me always to portray how the carnival has a DNA of resistance, of political resistance, that it was a space for all of those who didn't have voices or voices that were not heard, could express political commentaries, could allow themselves to go out and dress up and dance and have some moments of release. At the same time, I think through the project, I think I have kind of noticed too that the carnival is also more than a celebration, as it's normally portrayed, a cultural celebration. It's an indication of how critically a society needs a moment of venting, of distress, of compensating from the harshness of life. And I think that intentionally and unintentionally or in some ways, sometimes unaware, the film portrays that too. You know, this was not specifically my aim, because I am an artist and I have some ideas, but also there is a lot of there are lots of things that I don't know when I do projects, and I also let the projects shape themselves, you know, to not control them too much, to let them be what they are, and maybe understand myself as an enabler more than creator, author, you know, so that I have a bit of conflict sometimes with that, what you would call authorship, or again, as the carnival, it's something that it's not one person can do. It's a moment where so many people come together to express. And I also think that this project, this La Nave, became also that.
Mm-hmm. That's very much kind of transmitted to the viewer. The film does take the form of kind of a carnival in itself. But I want to talk maybe about the beginning of the project. How did it actually work out? When did you plan that you were going to go and sort of try and work with these different people who, like you say, this is a sort of venting moment. This is a thing that, you know, if it doesn't escape from these people through their performances, through their music, through, you know, their expression, like it needs to somehow. How did you work on kind of preparing for the shoot? What was the sort of, what were the sort of unknowns that you started with, and just what were the conditions like that brought you there?
I have been part of the Carnaval for many years. A group of artists, we used to organize a parade, or I mean, I'm using the word parade, it's not the correct word, let's say it's a, we used to organize events and organize performances and organize a moment to come out in the carnival. And so many, because I grew up in Barranquilla, many of the people that I am portraying are colleagues, because the art scene in the town is like, it's a big town, but it is still relatively small. And I was part of La Nave de los Locos. La Nave de los Locos is a group of artists that have started thinking, how can we make a carnival that is not all about spectacle, that is not about exclusion, that its values are resistance. It's about it's a space of emancipation and resistance, and how that links to feminist struggles, and how that links to campesino struggles and indigenous practices and LGBT struggles and so on. So this group, it's an intersectional group, if we could name it like that. And I have been incubating this idea of doing something around this space, but I didn't fully knew how to do it. I thought I'm going to do a performance at some point. The context of the pandemic and the special moment of the carnival not happening this year, because larger congregations of people were not allowed, just gave me the intuition that this was something that needed to be captured in some way. And because I have very little resources to develop this project, and you know, I couldn't bring people to create a performance, or you know, like logistically it's just very impossible. So I just decided to do a film. You know, I just decided let's try to capture this through video. Through last year, I have done two projects that were audiovisual. One, a 16 millimeter film of a choreography that I developed with a group of dancers, and that was very special. And I thought that a camera could capture something performative, because the moment is gone, you know, like you do it and this is it, you know. And I thought, wow, a camera can do that, you know. It's not like, I don't know. I mean, I knew these things, but I didn't fully, that didn't click in me, you know. And the other project was with a police body cam too. And so I was already thinking of like how to capture people in ways that are honest, caring, loving, non-colonial. And yeah, so that my premise, that suddenly I thought, maybe I don't fully know how am I going to do this, but I have had these two experiences, mm-hmm. One shooting a film in 16 millimeters and noticing the preciousness of, mm-hmm. of the moment, of things that cannot be repeated, and how that is like a stage, is like performance. And this other approach on like, who is watching? How is it recorded? What is the camera? How does it place politically? What it does enable? And Yeah, and so I was excited already about these things. So it naturally grew up into, oh, this is an opportunity to do something audiovisual. Let's do it. And it happens to be that some of the members of the collective have worked also in films. And so they did have some experience. The person that did the camera used to be a film director, but he doesn't do films anymore. So I kind of convinced him to do the camera. One person also does production and set design. And I also convinced her to help me with the production. And yeah, this was done by, it's done by friends too. You know, it's done by people that like each other, that support each other. So even though the project, La Nave de los Locos, is not an audiovisual project as such, it's more a performance, communal, collective activism project. Somehow all the elements were there and I could see those elements too, you know. It was like 2 weeks before the carnival and I said, well, we're going to go into another lockdown in the UK. I definitely going to go to Colombia, even though everybody's telling me not to go. Yeah. And so I just took the decision and then it was just like 4 months after I was still doing this film and I was, you know, so yeah. So that's kind of the way it, you know, the way one thing brought to another. Yeah. I'm very happy about the experience of having done, you know, because it's 53 minutes long, you know, it's not a short. I didn't envision the largeness of doing a project like that. It's just, I think that all the set of conditions happen for me to be comfortable, to feel loved, to feel supported. And also the fact that the change of like pounds to Colombian pesos could allowed me to rent some equipment, could allowed me to produce with very little money to do something that, that has some quality, you know, that, that, that is something that needs to be said, because this project doesn't follow, many of my projects don't follow that kind of pattern of like, I apply for funding and then I get funding and then I do a project. It also comes from the urgency. Okay, let's do this thing that it needed to be done. And on the way, we will figure out, you know.
The urgency is really deeply felt in the work. And, you know, as viewers will see, quite a significant portion of the runtime of the film is just of these different performances, really. Some of them, go on for some minutes and you're really kind of engaged and enraptured in them. I wanted to know if you could talk about sort of what you were feeling as you were filming the performances. What was it like, you know, there during those moments?
I mean, I have staged situations and created moments in which performance happens, but there was something probably not in all of them, but in some of them, in which it was also that the whole neighborhood took part, you know? There is this large parade of a trans beauty queen, that a pageant queen, that she goes through the neighborhood. And then because she's such a charismatic person, just everybody wanted to interact, you know? And even though, you know, sometimes we were passing and they were saying, oh, you are not going to film here, you know, come to us. We want to be part of whatever you are doing, you know? And so I think that, and noticing how the realities that we were trying to capture unfolded authentically in front of us, you know. There were no need to create a further performance. They were just happening, you know. That is life, you know. That is the life that happens in that neighborhood and how it operates. We were just amplifying it a little bit by doing something that is not too far from what normally happens there.
Yeah.
And I felt very lucky. You know, I felt very lucky because I was, and the people that were with me working, that it was a very small number of people. Every time we came home after shooting, feeling we have done something extraordinary today, you know, we took over a volcano, you know, we took over the mud volcano and did that incredible shoot in there. And it felt, or we did those, there is a scene in which Helvira, she's dancing naked in the highway, you know, and that was genuine, that, you know, this was, let's say, people were surprised. But the thing is that the reality of the north of Colombia is so magical, is so so unfiltered and crazy, and that people are adjust to, in some ways, things that are non-rational. And that I was surprised, but at the same time, I was also not surprised. I was reassured. This is where I come from. This is my reality. This is what has shaped me. And then in those moments, I was happy that I could show these to other people. You know, I could show this that is so specific and so difficult to capture, and also unseen in a way, because I on purpose try to portray people that haven't had much airtime, or that haven't had being interviewed hundreds of times, or, you know, that they have contributed, but often they have been just on the background, that are local figures, but are not, you know, like the speakers for the town. Or and I try to create, I think that there is, the whole project had this aesthetics of being on a margin, on a fringe, that is like a magical fringe somehow. So I always felt, when we were shooting, I always felt like, yeah, we are creating a parallel reality, but this is also our reality, you know? Yeah.
And leading on from that, can you talk about the actual concept of La Nave and sort of how that relates to the film?
So La Nave, or nave, means vessel or a ship. On the first place, this collective of artists is called La Nave de los Locos, the ship of the fools. And the concept that I had is how I am going to portray in a horizontal way the struggles of what have constitute the carnival, but also what this collective is trying to preserve. And then how those struggles are also linked to a colonial past that still unfolds in our days. Yeah, so maybe this sounds like a huge ambition, but I also wanted to do it in a way that was honest, loving, caring, embodied. Yeah, and that it's closer to the way that I experience the carnival from within, you know? It's very different to watch a carnival on television. Being inside the carnival, experiencing the collective euphoria and joy that is all of those interactions. I think that the paradox of trying to portray a carnival when a carnival is not happening, but what is remaining, I think that in that, that's the vessel I kind of wanted to portray. It's this kind of psychedelic vessel in a way, you know? It's a vessel of a reality that is not happening, but we are constructing, that is layered with ancestrality, with its layer with a desire to change the future. So La Nave has many axes of conceptual axes. One is this hegemonic colonial past, you know, in which those, that violence, it's still felt in the world, violence towards the earth, towards women, towards LGBT people, towards racialized people, towards the people that protect the nature and the land. Then there is this vessel of hope, embodied hope, that is the efforts of the artists and the cultural practitioners and their activism, and how can they be in a way portrayed that none of them is more important than the other, mm-hmm. and that how all of them interlinked, and then in a way that replicated just briefly after the national strike in Colombia happened. Basically, when I was finishing the film, the national strike happened. And then I saw all of the things that I have been portrayed being exemplified also on a larger national political event. You know, it was not only LGBT people going to march, it was the farmers, the indigenous people of Colombia, the Afro-Colombian population, and all of those people coming together to hold each other, to fight together in very creative ways. I think that that is also what this vessel, what the concept of this vessel that is not directed with one person or with one strategy, but it's kind of like it's happening in non-organized way, in organic ways, in ways that are reactive, that like the culture of like the culture of my town too. You know, we people say we're unorganized, or we are, you know, the typical racist commentary. The people from the north of Colombia, you are lazy, you are sexual, you are loud, you are, you know, all the typical stereotypes of racialized people we have, because the culture is, it's Afrocentric, and it is connected to forms of joy on the everyday, you know, the food and the dancing and the social interactions and the neighborhood living. And yeah, this vessel is one in which decisions are made following each other, dancing around each other. And yeah, so, and then as a, you know, as someone that was kind of taking the decisions of how this narrative is going to be constructed, I also thought I cannot create a hierarchy among these voices. So I'm just going to try to give as much time as I can to each of those people that were in portrayed. And that just created a space of listening, you know, and a space in which what the narrative that was constructed before, it's a thing in itself, but it also starts speaking with the struggles of somebody else.
I think that's a quite revolutionary thing about this film, is that you do give, you know, the viewer the pleasure of meeting all of these different people, either through their words from these amazing older Afro-Colombian gentlemen who run a radio station or a club, or recite poetry from, you know, the indigenous group who perform with sort of drums and flutes and things like this. And we're meeting these people as individuals, you know, not as, you know, sort of standing in for their groups, but all of these individuals are sort of brought together, and they're quite literally a lot of them brought together at the end of the film. It's a complex question, but, you know, do you find solidarity amongst all these groups, or are they sort of more doing their own thing?
I think that this is the beauty of art projects, you know? This is the beauty of like people organizing creative ventures. These groups of people have been brought together by the desire to participate in the carnival, you know? And the particularities of how solidarity exercises amongst them is transverse by a creative input and creative collaborations amongst them. And the fact that they have similar beliefs, that it's important to manifest culturally, that it is of urgency to not let their culture die or be erased, and find ways of creating those passing, you know, these traditions and archives and this heritage, because those problems that these urgencies are speaking about and these cultural manifestations are speaking about are still very alive, you know? The answer is yes, there are ways in which the people that are portrayed in the group exercise solidarity among them. Some of them work with each other and exercise material support, but also, emotional support, you know, like, and as in any other group, these are groups in which are romantically organized. So we're going to all be there for each other in harder time. But I think the fact that doing things that are meaningful, that are joyful, that are significant, creates an embodied form of care and solidarity. So after you have danced in this carnival and you have played together, it's very difficult to say, I don't care about this person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know, I didn't consciously try to do this in the film, but I think that portraying already a group that is in its own unromanticized ways exercising solidarity among themselves, because they all believe in the necessity of their keeping, upholding their traditions, cultural traditions, and because those traditions keep the spirit and the right to live in the world for these populations, you know? Maybe this is sounding a bit theoretical, but I, you know, I think that some of that comes through that urgency when somebody says, I experienced this racist incident and that motivated me to create space for my people. That's something incredible to witness, you know? Mm-hmm. And I, in very simple ways, I think the film hints on something that is already happening.
Beautiful. And yeah. I want to thank you because you've been really generous with your time. The last thing maybe that I want to ask you, and you mentioned it, I believe, in your introduction to the film is, how has working on this project informed work that you might be developing now or for the future? I understand it's you have things still in the planning stages, but if you could speak in any way about that.
Yeah, I have, you know, if I can say, in the past, mm-hmm. I have worked with heritage issues, and it was always about performances that brought these actors, not comedians, act like social actors,
sure.
Together to speak, to talk, to do the things that they normally do, and for people to witness this. I think that I understood with this project that I can bring these presences to so many people through this medium, that something I haven't embodied before, that realization, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think Colombia is, well, not only Colombia, but Colombia for me has a very special place because it's so culturally rich, and culture and activism are all, like, most of the time very linked, and traditions, you know, and heritage. So I think I want to keep on deepening in that, in the traditions of my country, you know, in the cultural traditions of my country, and how they can show others the ways that we live and the ways that we experience the world, and how our struggles and the way we deal with our struggles have maybe inspired other people. And that is worth making an effort to disseminate, you know? Mm-hmm. That's, for me, I think that has a lot of value. And the other aspect is also the challenge on how to view, you know? How to view, how to portray, and how to create a way in which the eye and the colonial gaze, in brackets too, can be dismantled, you know? Mm. And how can we turn these cameras and these video devices to becoming not about exploiting and not about othering, but maybe bringing people, I don't know, if closer or more sensitive ways, in ways that are respectful, that helps, you know, exercise love, you know? Yeah, so I cultivating new ideas for projects that have been informed also in working so deeply with this project, because yes, you know, I end up doing color grading. That is something I kind of completely fell in love with. You know, this is the thing, coming from a place where colors are so specific, you know, are so specific because the quality of the light is very particular. Mm. You know, I could not portray the people I wanted to portray without the color being exactly the way it needed to be, you know? And I think that that is also a form of love, you know, because it speaks about the facets of our reality that are different from other places, you know? And definitely La Nave has leave a huge impact on me and a desire to keep on doing projects that collect narratives, collect traditions and heritage of probably people that haven't been exposed as much, or that are going through very harsher times, for more people to know what's happening in other in their realities, and understand also that what we consider reality is made out of so much more than what we see, you know, and what is exposed to us. So suddenly this medium becomes like, oh, I can use this to do all of these things that I was already trying to do before, you know.
It's very, very potent and very powerful, and I think it's a really beautiful thing to try to replicate, or, you know, capture what loving is through making a film. And I don't think it's any understatement to say that you've achieved that with this work. So thank you very much for the work. And Carlos, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Herb. Thank you for having me. And I hope that the people that are listening enjoy La Nave. And thank you for the invitation.